As you all know, we are continuing this series of sermon arising from the mission statement and core values that we have all agreed upon in the last 3 months of our process. And for the last few weeks, we've been focusing just on the first part of the mission statement. So we navigated what discipleship is, what is a disciple looks like, what are some of the biblical principles when we talk about discipleship. And then last Sunday, I talked about perseverance, one of the biggest principles or character that a disciple should have in their lives. And we also talk about the importance of why we make disciples. And we said that this is in alignment with what the Bible says in the Great Commission, when Matthew 28 says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." That is our marching order. Our main reason for existence as a disciple of Christ and as a church is to go and reach out and bring the church to where the people are, and to seek those who are lost and tell them about Jesus. That is why John Wesley, our great founder of our Methodist movement, always often says, you have nothing to do but to save lost, but to save souls. In other words, it's not will I be a witness, but rather who will I witness to? So this morning we're going to talk about another important biblical principle of what it means to be a disciple or follower of Jesus. A disciple of Jesus must have a passion for the lost. Would you pray with me? We thank you again for this freedom of worship, that we're able to hear your word, O God, not even worrying about a threat or any persecution. Help us, O God, to hear what you're going to say to us. And may we be receptive to your word today. I pray, Lord, that I will be removed from this equation so that your name and yours alone will be glorified. For it is in your name that we pray. Amen. I'm very sure that many of us here have lost something at some point in your life. Either a car key, or maybe a personal wallet that you had, passports maybe you lost. I remember, I think I shared this to the children's time, that this wedding ring, June and I were on the first few years of our marriage, and we were at Oak Island, and I accidentally placed it in the sand, and that's the bad place to put put any of stuff. And I could not find it when I came back. When we lost something, we do everything we can to find that, right? We're moving heaven and earth with urgency to find something that is lost. What about people? What do we do when a person turns up missing? We do an all-out search, just like the things that we've been watching in the news lately about what happened in Central Texas. They're still in a rescue mode. We put all the resources of the government agencies, police force, fire departments, search and rescue operations to find, to protect, and to save lives. We even have a system today known as Amber Alert, right? Many of you are hooked up with that through your cell phones or through your home phone to assist in finding missing people. See, church, people are important to us. We value those things that have lost, and we'll do everything that we can to be on the rescue mode, to find that lost stuff, and most importantly, lost people. There's no time to waste. We must respond immediately to ensure that whoever is missing, that he or she will be rescued safely. Isn't it no different at all in our own spiritual lives? That we also have to take care of the soul of those along our pathway, in our path. That we are called to be on a rescue mission for those who have lost. As disciples of Christ, we are responsible for the lost souls. And this is not something that Pastor Edgar made up. Actually, it was embedded in the scripture itself. When Paul admonishes Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8, not to be ashamed to testify about our Lord. In fact, Apostle Paul had this burden to reach out for the lost when he penned these words in Romans chapter 1, verse 6. And I quote, "I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew and then for the Gentiles." We are called to be on a rescue mission because we do not know when judgment day will come. That's why we should care about those people that God placed in our lives who had no personal relationship with Him. We should care for those who will die without knowing Jesus as their Lord and as their Savior. And it could be a member of our family. It could be our spouse. It could be our children. It could be our grandchildren. It can be our co-worker. It could be our neighbor. It could be anyone that God put along our path. See, they may know about Jesus. They may have come to the church. They may have participated in some of the ministries of the church. But think of it for a second, church. Do they really have a deeper and life-giving relationship with the Lord? You know, I recall those moments when I was growing up back home as to how people have placed in my life, my Sunday school teachers, pastors that have ministered at Wesley Methodist Church where I was nurtured and formed and discipled, how the UMYF, how the Methodist Church in the Philippines, all this God have used to kind of remind me of that God is never giving up on me, and He constantly shaping me and nurturing me. The preacher wife of the church that we served constantly invites my mom, who was a devout Catholic, come. We have meals, we have fellowship, we have worship. Those are important invitations for us that we should not fail because we are called to be on a rescue mission. The Bible says in Matthew 14, Jesus says He was sent only to the lost sheep. He spent most of His time with the tax collectors, prostitutes and thieves and other people considered to be at the bottom of the society. He spoke to those who lack moral or ethical values. He was there hanging out with the lost. In Luke chapter 19, Jesus talked to Zacchaeus. And you all know Zacchaeus was despised because he tried to take advantage of a lot of people because he was a tax collector. But Jesus rejoiced when Zacchaeus found the way. And Jesus spent most of His life searching for the lost and rejoicing when He found them. And this is exactly where we're coming in on the Gospel of Luke chapter 15. He told these three parables. I can tell you honestly, you can preach as a series of sermons on all just the three of this, because they're just so rich and carefully woven together that I don't even have the time to unpack them all this morning. But for the sake of the theme of being passionate for the lost, I just want to share with you, there are three common threads. There are common threads on all of these three stories together. And let me unpack this one by one. In each of the story here that Jesus shared and told to the Pharisees who are grumbling and questioning Jesus about why he hang out with the sinners and with the tax collectors and those who are in the margins of the society, the first plot line is something is lost. In each of the stories, something is lost. In the first story, what was lost? A sheep. A sheep is lost. In the second story, the coin. And the third story, the son, or the prodigal son. So if you got your own Bible, you might find it helpful at some point to go through this chapter again, underline the words loss, losses, and lost, and see how many times it would appear in whatever version of the Bible. You will always constantly see those three words to emphasize that something is lost in all of the three stories. Now, the next observation here is that in each of his story, what is lost really matters to the hero of the story. See, the shepherd is so concerned about the loss of this one sheep. And he risks what? He risks 99 of them in order to find the one sheep that was lost. And the other story, the woman is so distraught over the loss of her one coin that she canceled all of her plans and scours the entire house in order to find the one missing coin. And then the third story, the father is so brokenhearted that his son has wandered that he endures the scorn of the entire village by running after him when he finally heads for home. See, what is lost really matters to the hero of the story in all of the three parables that he have just shared. But not only that, when the loss is found in each of the story, what happened next? The hero rejoices and throws a party to express their joy. Have you noticed that, church? In each of the story, when the loss was found, the hero rejoices. And what is interesting here, that the hero is someone who would not really be admired by the religious leaders. Come think of it. All of these characters, the Pharisees, were just so upset to hear that, because they felt that they are there, that the credit should go to them instead of those who are lowly and those who are marginalized and those who are considered outcasts of the society. But Jesus had to tell them not just once, not just twice, but Jesus had to do a back-to-back three parables in order for him to say this to the Pharisees. Look, your perception of who matters to God and who doesn't is so far off that I'm going to clear up this perspective and concept to you once and for all. Friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, our call to discipleship demands a passion for the lost. Lost people matter to God, so much so that he's an all-out search to find them. Every time a lost person gets found, heaven rejoices. Think about those loved ones that came in contact with you. And think about the missed opportunities that you could have done simply because you're afraid. Pastor, we may not have the words to say or have not the courage. Church, God have given us the Pentecost Spirit. Reclaim that. Ask the Lord, Lord, help me to say the words that I need to say. Give me the courage so that I can be used by you to make a difference in the life of one person at a time. So as we prepare ourselves in this Lord's table, here's what I would like to invite us all. I invite you all to think just one person that you would like to reach out throughout this summer, that God may be putting along your pathway. Pray for that person. Ask God to help you, to give you the perfect timing, the right words, the conviction, the courage, and the attitude to approach and to share your story and how God changed your lives. Invite them to a dinner table, to a coffee shop. Who knows? You may be the only Jesus that they can be able to hear and to see and to experience. I know some of us are already doing it. Thanks be to God for those that already have the heart to reach out for the lost. And some of you here today were results of that invitation. Am I right? Some of you, the reason why you are here is because somebody has so passion for the lost that he or she reached out to you and that you are now part of this beautiful faith community called Plank Chapel. As we gather this morning in the Lord's table, Jesus is on a rescue mission. And is this still doing it today? And may we be on a rescue mission to do whatever it takes to offer Christ to others in whatever circumstance, at every place, at every time. And may the power of the Holy Spirit guide us and lead us as we do God's work in being witnesses for Him and for His kingdom. Would you join with me in prayer? Lord, there are times wherein we have missed the opportunity for us to seek out those who are lost because of different reasons. Perhaps some of us are afraid, or we relegate this to the pastor or to a professional to do this ministry. And yet all of us who are disciples of Jesus are instructed and even commanded to go, therefore, and make disciples. You call us, O God, to embrace this life of being witnesses. So help us to trust and depend on your Spirit to guide us, give us the right words, give us the right courage, the right timing, the opportunity, so that we will no longer miss those opportunities anymore. And we pray as we gathered in the Lord's table that we will rekindle our own story, our own faith with you, that there was one time we are also lost and you found us. We offer these prayers in your name. Amen.